Lord, we've come to a time in this service when we bow in your presence to ask something of which I'm not worthy. I ask you to move upon me, O God, the one who is charged with the responsibility of feeding the flock of God, the one who is responsible for shepherding the flock. I pray, O God, that you would open my mind and bring to memory and recall the things that I have studied that you have delivered to me to share with this wonderful, wonderful church today. I ask God that your presence would dwell among us, that you would put away from us every distraction, that every thought that would interfere with communicating with God's word would be abolished from our minds. And I pray that you would hallow this moment, O Lord, by the anointing of your Spirit. Touch us and open the eyes of our understanding that we may hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Today's message is the second in a series, Don't Waste Your Grace. Our anchor text is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to read from the Message. Any of you know about the Message? That's Eugene Peterson's rendition of the Word of God in everyday language. It reads thusly. If you're used to the King James, it reads very different than this. But I felt like this just says in layman's terms what we need to hear. Verse 9, it was fitting that I bring up the rear. He's talking about apostleship. And he's talking about that circle of great men that we call the apostles. The apostles were those who saw the Lord Jesus after he was resurrected. I was the least, he said. I don't deserve to even be included in that inner circle. As you well know, having spent all of those early years trying my best to stamp out God's church right out of existence. But because God was so gracious, because God extended to me his grace and his mercy, here I am. And I'm not about to let this grace that God gave me go to waste. Haven't I worked hard trying to do more than any of the others? Even then, my work really didn't amount to all that much. It was God that was giving me the work to do and the energy for me to do it. Wow, what a statement by a man we call the great Apostle Paul. It's hard for me to identify with his statement, I am the least of all saints, and I am the least of all of the apostles. They're all greater than me, and I just got in on the tail end of things. God just happened to do something gracious in my life. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about a road to Damascus and an assignment that he had to go and arrest Christians and put them in chains and put them in bondage and bring them back to Jerusalem for further persecution. But while he was riding on his beast toward Damascus, God just clotheslined him right off that donkey. He called it, I was knocked down. I was struck down. Wow. How many of you know that when you're going the wrong way, God will clothesline you? How many of you know that when you're traveling in a direction that is out of the will of God, he'll put something in the path to turn you around? In one case, it was a talking mule that said to somebody, you're going the wrong way. Why are you beating me? Wow, sometimes we have to realize that if we're doing something wrong or going the wrong direction, that God loves us too much to let us be destroyed by our own ignorance and our own lack of understanding. He'll sometimes clothesline us, and that's what he did to Paul. Paul said, I was on the road to Damascus, but thanks be to God, he struck me down, and I realized I was in the presence of someone mightier than I, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And he said, well then, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to go into Damascus and find one Ananias on the street that's called Straight, and he will pray for you, and the scales will fall off of your eyes, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit that will empower you to do great things for me. Paul said that was an act of grace. That was something that God did through his gracious, loving kindness to me. By that grace, God was so very generous. And he said, I'm not about to let that go to waste. I'm not about to let what God has done in my life be in vain and be lost. I'm going to take advantage of every gracious act that God has done in my life. Could you give God some praise for the grace and the mercy that he's showed in your life? I want to tell you, we're in the midst of a great discussion now about God's gift of grace to all believers. And if I ever saw a time when believers needed grace, it's right now. To say that we're living in precarious and perilous and dangerous times is putting it mildly. Putting it mildly. There's a famous picture of President Bush when his chief of staff, a man named Andrew Card, came in and informed him of America is under attack. It happened on 9/11, as all of you know. And he came in, he said, I studied so long about what to say to the president. I studied so long about how I could deliver. He's in an elementary school class in Sarasota, Florida, in a reading experiment with children. How do I tell him something so grievous and so important as America is under attack? And he said, I walked into the room, and I leaned over to him and I whispered in his ear in a way that he wouldn't ask me a lot of questions because I knew the situation. And he said, Mr. President, America is under attack. Wow. Well, Peter just steps up to the podium in 1 Peter 5 and just says, hey, all believers, all Christians, you are under attack. I hasten to inform everyone in this building today that when you were born into the family of God, you were born with a birthmark. Do you know what that birthmark is? Hey, it's a bullseye. That's what it is. It's a bullseye. And I want to tell you, you're the target of a terrorist. You're the target of an enemy. In fact, Peter said, you have an adversary. An adversary. And he then identified him as the devil. And he said, he is a roaring lion. A roaring lion. In other words, he's not an ambushing lion. He's not a lion that's lying in wait to ambush you. He's roaring. What's he doing that for? Because he's announcing his presence. He's leased the building next door for a 100-year lease, and he's moved in not to move out, and he is going to be your problem. Wow. This adversary that has assuaged himself against our lives as a roaring lion, and he is seeking whom he may devour. He is a thief, Jesus said, and he's a murderer, and he's a robber. He's come against you to steal everything from you, to rob you, to strip you of all of your good and all of your prosperity, your wealth. He would take it away today if he could. Today he would destroy your marriage. Today he would put enmity in your family. Today he would take that job away from you that you're feeding your family. Today the devil would do all of that if he had the opportunity. And this is not a message that brag about the devil. This is a message to tell you that the grace of God is sufficient in every situation that you go through. Every day I hear people saying they're talking layoffs at work, slowdowns in the economy, flare-ups in the Middle East, turnovers at headquarters, downturns in the housing market, upswings in unemployment, breakouts of Al-Qaeda cells, Some demented dictator is collecting nuclear warheads. There's a new strain of flu that's crossing the border. The plague of our day, terrorism, begins with the word terror. There is a threat and there is a war on terror right now that's going in America. And if you put your head in the sand and dismiss it, just look at the newsreels. Just this last week or so, 50 people killed, 57 people killed by an insane person takes an AK-47, just opens fire. Those 57 people never imagined that they were going to an event that would end in their death that day. Their families never even crossed their mind that before that day was over, they would be at a morgue somewhere identifying the body of a loved one. Hey, if you don't think this world is a dangerous place, you better think again. You better look at the newsreels and find out that these are perilous times that we don't know about tomorrow. But as the prayer this morning was prayed, but I know who holds tomorrow. And if you know who holds tomorrow, there is sufficient grace to get you through that situation. The attack is on, and there are many things that are employed by the enemy. How many of you in this place have ever been anxious? Better get your hand up, everybody, or we'll have an altar call for folks that don't raise their hand when they're supposed to. Wow. Every hand in the house went up when I put it like that. There have been times in our lives when we've been overwhelmed. There have been times in our lives when we've been fearful. Demetrius, you just went through a period not long ago when you were frightened and fearful about a test that was made. And the doctor was worried about the situation and the possibility of a terrible disease. Some of you, others that I could point out in this audience today, you've gone through things that you were frightened and fearful. Every one of us, anxiety is just something that goes along with it. Folks tell me about panic attacks and talk of all kinds of things that they go through. Anxiety is real. It's very real. Depression is real. It's very real. Paranoia is very real. It's very real. And though we kind of scoff sometimes as if that's only people who are weak, then you need to think again, because I know some very strong individuals that have been brought to their knees by emotional disorder and damage that is done in their emotional life. I know people that are in midlife that are scared of dying, scared because they don't know what the future is, scared of this and the economy and all the things that are going on and don't know what they're going to do about it. They have very much anxiety about it. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. In this epistle, Peter tells us something to do with anxiety. He says, casting all of our anxiety upon him, because he cares for us. There is one whose shoulders are broad enough, who is able to bear up under the weight of the whole world's problems. In fact, he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders and ascended a place called Calvary and was suspended between heaven and earth upon a cross of Calvary, bearing our sin, bearing our iniquity, bearing our shame, bearing our fears and our anxiety, and he took care of it all. He paid the price. He endured the shame, despising the shame, and he ascended to heaven for us to become an intercessor and a mediator and the propitiation for our sin. Hallelujah. Can you give him some praise in this house? Be sober and be vigilant. Cast your care upon him, but don't go to sleep. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, didn't say he was a lion, as a roaring lion. He's like one. He's traveling about. He's mobile. He's searching for. He's looking for prey. He is a predator, and he's looking for prey. Hey, can somebody identify with that? He is a predator. He is right now stalking you. He's right now gaining information about you. He's right now studying you to find out where your weaknesses are and where your strengths are. He is a predator. He is looking for prey. He is as a lion that's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to utterly destroy every one of us in this house. Got a bullseye on you. Yes, you got a birthmark. But along with that birthmark, you've also got something else. You've got a promise. A promise that says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. A promise that says, I will with every temptation make a way for your escape. A promise that says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. A promise that says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. A promise that said, my hand is not shortened that it cannot save. My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. My outstretched arm and my mighty hand is at your disposal. My ear is cut to your cry. My eye is upon the righteous. The Lord, the eyes of the Lord, worketh through the earth looking for an opportunity for grace to abound in our hearts and abound into our lives. Could you give him some praise? Your adversary, the devil, we're under attack. Submission then is so much a part of this. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Aren't you glad for steadfast faith? Aren't you glad that beating inside you is a heart that has faith in the power of the Lord Jesus? Aren't you glad that God has changed your attitude from negative to positive? Aren't you glad that God has changed your position from loser to winner? Aren't you glad that God has brought you out of the bondage and the power of darkness and into his marvelous light? Aren't you glad that all things have changed since you met the Lord Jesus? Aren't you glad that in you there is a confidence and an assurance that God will not fail you and that God will not let you down? Yes, we're under attack. Yes, there is an adversary. Yes, he wants to destroy us. But there is a God in heaven whose power is ultimate, whose grace is sufficient, who is committed to us. And he said, I will not take my hand off of you until I have finished the work that I began in you. Praise God. There is a hedge of protection that is about you. There is a hand of God that is guarding you. There is an angel of God that is assigned to your care. There is a God who is so committed to you and your future that he will not abandon you. He will not abandon his will. He will not abandon his purpose. But the Lord will accomplish this. The Bible said the zeal of the Lord will perform it. Praise God for the zeal of the Lord. Thank God for the zeal of the Lord that will perform it. Cast all of your anxiety. Cast all of that. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. What's he saying, Pastor? That anxiety has got to be confronted. That emotion of fear and dread and worry, all cousins. All of them are cousins. Some of them are so close they're kissing cousins. Worry, fear, doubt, unbelief. At some point, that faith, that steadfast faith, has got to look anxiety in the eye and say, I resist you. I resist every scheme that the devil has schemed against me. I resist every device that the devil has concocted against me. I resist every intention of ill will and destruction and thievery and murder that the devil wants to do to me. I am who I am because of the grace of God. I stand in the grace of God. I am empowered by His grace. I am empowered by His Holy Spirit. I am empowered by His mighty hand that I live under. He is my God. He is my shepherd. He is my soon coming King. He is the Lord of my life. He is the one who supplies every need that I have according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody, stand to your feet and give God an applause this morning and thank Him for His grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be our God. Blessed be our God. Sit down, let me preach some more. Resist Him. Steadfast in the faith. Point your finger in His ugly face and say, greater is He that is in me than you are. Greater is He that is in me than any situation. Greater is He that is in me than any scheme or concoction of the devil. Greater is our God. There is no one higher. There is no one more powerful. He is the God of all grace. He is the God who called you out of darkness to become a people who were not a people, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy, who had not a future, but now you have a future worth living because of the grace of God that abides within you. He is the God of all grace. Resist the devil through the grace of God. Steadfast faith. And you do that knowing this. This is where you handle the isolation, okay? Sometimes the devil would like to make you feel you're the only one that has to go through things. Sometimes you'll look around and you'll see people prospering and doing well, and you'll become saddened and sour. But here's something that will help you through that. While you're resisting the devil, while you're telling him he's not got a hold on you, remember this, knowing this, that brethren, you've got brethren and sistering all over the world that are suffering the same affliction. They're all going through it. We're all under attack. It's not just you. It's everyone that names the name of Christ. It's everyone that trusts the Word of God. It's everyone that lives their life submitted under the mighty hand of God. Everyone in God's church is under this attack. But thanks be to God. Look at that 10th verse. But the God of all grace who hath called us. Are you called today? Every one of you in this house are called with a holy calling. Not according to your own works, but according to His eternal purpose, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before this world began. All of us called with this holy calling, called to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while. Oh, blessed be God. Oh, it may be bleak and you may be going through a dark time, but I want to tell you, it may be a sleepless night, but joy is coming in the morning. Oh, I want to tell you, it's not forever. There may be some things you have to go through, but it's not forever. There may be some things that are upsetting, but it's not forever. There may be some pain. There may be some injury. There may be some things that try your faith, but it's not forever. I promise you, there'll come a day. I said there'll come a day. There'll come a time when things will change. There'll come a new season. This season will pass and another season will come. Don't get discouraged because it's only temporary. Don't throw in the towel and quit and say, I can't take it anymore. Square your shoulders. Lift up your chin. Look the future in the face and say, this is just temporary. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded to believe that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do you know in whom you have believed? Can you trust the one you have believed in? I want to tell you, he is a God who never, never fails. God of all grace gives us faith to believe. I told you last Sunday, don't separate things God puts together. When God puts things together, let not man put asunder what God hath joined. God has eternally, Brother Charles, joined grace and faith. Wherever you find faith, you'll find grace. Wherever you find grace, you'll find faith, because the two work synonymously. They work hand in hand. That's why it's important that you get all the Word of God that you can get, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when faith comes by hearing the Word of God, then grace is right beside faith, saying, I've come along too. You might have prayed for grace, but faith accompanies grace. You might have prayed for faith, but grace accompanies faith. They travel together. They work together. They are joined in a way that they do what God wants them to do in your life. One won't appear without the other. So when God's grace abounds, it's because of faith. In fact, the Bible said in Romans that it is all of grace, that it might be by faith. All of grace. What is grace? Mercy. What is grace? Loving kindness. What is grace? God's favor and God's love, all composited in a single gift. And the Bible said he gives grace. He gives more grace. In fact, in John chapter 1, when the Bible talked about the Lord Jesus coming, said the Word was made flesh in verse 14, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace, full of grace, full of grace, and full of truth. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus whom we serve is full of grace. Oh, there's such a bounty of grace in the person of the Lord Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, there's an abundance of grace. Wherever he appears, there is enough grace and then some to be victorious over every foe. There's not a battle he can't win. There's not a hill he can't climb. There's not a valley that he can't get you through. There's not a problem that he can't solve. There's not an enemy that he can't defeat. And if God be for us, if God's grace and God's person of the Lord Jesus is with us, high in the world, can the devil withstand the power of God? Peter informs us that to defeat our adversary, we must resist him. We must confront him. Put James chapter 4, verse 7 up here for me. Submit. Submit. Well, Pastor, you've talked about being strong. Strong people are people who have submitted to God. They're strong because they've submitted. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow, you mean that I've got an equation that will work to defeat the devil in my life? You mean I don't have to live another day a victim? You mean that I don't have to succumb and roll over and play dead for the devil anymore? You mean there's something I can do to get out from under this stress? You mean that there's something that I can do that'll get me out from under this pressure? What is it, Pastor, that I can do? Submit to God. Just get on your prayer bones and say, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to give it to you. God, I'm tired of struggling with it. I'm tired of wrestling with it. I'm tired of sleepless nights. I'm tired of loss of appetite. I'm tired of worrying. I'm tired of nervousness. I'm tired of anxiety. God, today on my knees in this closet, you take charge of this situation. I'm going to submit it to you. Whatever you want to do with it, God, you just do what you want to do. God, however you want to handle it, you just handle it the way you want to handle it. God, I submit to what you want. You work it out. Not my plan, but your plan. Not my will, but your will. Not my purpose, but your purpose. God, I resign. I quit trying to do it. I'm just going to say, God, it's yours. You take over. I'll serve you. I'll worship you. I'll praise you. I'll love you. You just handle this. It's all yours. I submit to you. Submit to him. Submit to God. Stop trying to tell him how to do it. Stop trying to tell him what you want. Stop trying to tell him the details and the plan of action. He knows what he's doing. I said he knows what he's doing. Our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we're able to ask. Where there is faith, there is grace. That same affliction that our other brethren all over the world are going through, they handle it the same way. He tells everybody, here's the way you handle it. Cast all your care upon him, submit to him, and whatever he does with it, accept it and love him and serve him and praise him. Submit yourself unto God. You see, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. The fleshly part of us has that anxiety and fear. The spiritual part of us has faith and grace. Woo. Brother, what you've got to do is stop fighting in the fleshly, carnal sphere and enter into the spiritual sphere and say, I'm going to fight my spiritual battle in the sphere of the Spirit. I wrestle not against flesh and bone. That's fleshly and that's carnal. That's physical. I'm going to retreat back to my spirit self. And I'm going to handle this in my spirit cognizance. I'm going to handle this in that place where I relate to God. I'm going to handle this where I can enter a throne room of grace that I may obtain help in time of need. Oh, I can't see that throne room, but I can go into that throne room. And he sent for me, don't go in there sheepishly, and don't go in there cowardly, but boldly walk into the throne room of grace, because there's help in that place. Did you hear me? I said there's help in that place. There's deliverance in that place. There's healing in that place. There's encouragement in that place. Where, Pastor? In the throne room. In that spirit sphere. That's where you handle these matters. Oh, blessed be God. Somebody give God some praise. You know who you'll find in that throne room? You'll find Jesus. And Jesus said, why are you trying to do this yourself? Why are you struggling with it? Why didn't you give this to me a long time ago? Because Jesus said these words. Got your ears perked up? He said these words, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing times nothing is still nothing. No matter how many times you try it, you're still going to get nothing. Five times nothing is still nothing. 50 times nothing is still nothing. How many times are you going to have to multiply it before you realize the answer is the same every time? Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we realize that it's all of grace, that it might be by faith, that God has this remedy for us. Oh, it was by grace that God does the great things that he does. By faith, Moses chose to accept God's grace to become a leader. By faith, David chose to believe and receive grace to kill a giant. By faith, Esther decided to trust God and saw grace to save a nation. By faith, Noah found grace and he built the ark. By faith, Daniel experienced grace to shut the mouths of lions. By faith, Samson found grace to destroy the enemy. By faith, Paul and Silas found grace to sing praises to God at midnight. By faith, Peter found grace to walk on water to the master. And in Hebrews 11:33, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and all of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turning to flight the armies of aliens. What a God who acts by grace. Knock, knock. Supposed to say, who's there? UPS. UPS, Unbelievers Propaganda Service. Got some packages for you. What are they? What do they say? One says anger. Another says bitterness. One says strife. Another says greed. Another says jealousy. Another says envying. Hey, I don't want any of those packages. Return it to sender. Mark it, delivery refused. By faith, you resist. By faith, you refuse. By faith, you overcome. You don't have to be apathetic. You can be alert. You don't have to be bland. You can be beautiful. You don't have to be crazy. You can be courageous. You don't have to be dreadful. You can be delightful. You don't have to be enslaved. You can be emancipated. You don't have to be frightened. You can be fearless. You don't have to be greedy. You can be gracious. You don't have to be haughty. You can be helpful. You don't have to be ignorant. You can be informed. You don't have to be jealous. You can be joyful. You don't have to be KO'd. You can be knowledgeable. You don't have to be lazy. You can be laborious. You don't have to be mundane. You can be marvelous. You don't have to be naughty. You can be nice. You don't have to be obnoxious. You can be overcoming. You don't have to be pitiful. You can be powerful. You don't have to be quiet. You can be qualified. You don't have to be redundant. You can be redeemed. You don't have to be stained. You can be saved. You don't have to be terrible. You can be terrific. You don't have to be undone. You can be unique. You don't have to be void. You can be valiant. You don't have to be wasteful. You can be wonderful. You don't have to be Xerox. You can be Xenolithic. You don't have to be yellow, you can be yielded. You don't have to be zeroed, you can be zealous. What are you saying, Pastor? God, by His grace, can make you into a great person. God, by His grace, can take all of your faults and failures and misdoings and change that into something very, very good. Did you know there are a lot of people that suffer on in the grind of ordinariness and victimization because they're just too proud to say, I need God to do this. Something about our nature, we kind of get that Popeye mentality. The spirit of Popeye comes on us. I am what I am, and that's all that I am. The spirit of Popeye is terrible. I just am what I am. If God didn't want me to be this way, He shouldn't have made things like they are. It's God's fault. Come on. When are you going to wake up and say, I need God? When are you going to wake up and say, I can of myself do nothing. I've got to have God's help. I've got to have God to do something for me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. But God gives grace to the humble. You mean then that pride is a determinant to having God work on my problems? Yes. Arrogance and haughtiness will turn the tide every time. God just can't work with that kind of stuff. But when you humble yourself, listen to the rest of it. When you get to that place that you realize humility is necessary, for God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Under the hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Everything the devil is trying to tear down, God said, I'll build it back in due time. Every wound that you've received in this ordeal, God says, I'll fix it, I'll heal it in due time. God says, every loss that you've incurred, I will restore it in due time. If we just don't faint and we just don't cave in, God says, at the end of all of this, I'll fix it for you. I'll fix it back. I'll put back everything you've lost. I'll restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I'll restore the years that the canker worm has come and destroyed your crops and has offered so much injury. God said, hey, when the season changes, when the season changes, it's here for a season. It's going to leave. It's temporary. It's not lasting. And when it changes, God said, I'll do some restoration. Boy, isn't that great? That God gives grace to the humble. You see, the devil realizes that he can't defeat you sometimes by sinful pleasures or defeat you by suffering and affliction. He'll work another scheme of attack that's so subtle you don't even realize it's going on. If it weren't for the grieving of the Holy Spirit. What's that tactic? It's selfishness. And it's that arrogance. But he says the cure for that is to submit yourself under God's mighty hand. Now, for us Americans, that doesn't seem to be a whole lot. We stumble over that without taking a whole lot of note. God's mighty hand. But if you were Jewish, that would mean something very different to you. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 8. Would you put that up there for me? Y'all hold your shouting now for a while because I'm going to have to preach a little bit right here. I'm kidding. I'm saying this verse will make you shout. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. You mean God turns the terror back on the terrorist? You mean that God has some terror that he puts back on the terrorist? Yeah, isn't that great? He gives him a little bit of his own medicine. He takes the terror, turns it back on him. The Bible said, Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You see, God's got a gift for terrorists. God's got a gift for the devil and his hordes. God's got a gift for all the imps and demonic spirits. He said, I'm going to turn that tide on you. I've got some terror back for you. He said, I'll let you feel a little bit of it one day. The Bible said the demons of hell shook and trembled when they heard the name Jesus. In other words, when the name of Jesus was spoken, the devils in hell shake and tremble. They feel the terror of the Lord when Jesus walks into a situation. When Jesus walks in a situation, lepers are cleansed and blind eyes are opened and deaf ears begin to hear and palsied limbs are made straight and issues of blood dry up and funeral processions are stopped and dead are raised and brought back to life. In fact, when Jesus shows up, all of hell begins to shake and tremble at the mention of his name. Hey, anytime you're involved in war, just speak the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. There's glory in that name. There's victory in that name. There's peace in that name. There's hope in that name. There's cleansing in that name.
There's joy unspeakable in that name. There's peace that passes understanding in that name. Ho, everyone, come ye to the waters and drink ye of the waters of the fountain of life. God says, through my son Jesus, there will never be an enemy that will be able to subdue him. There'll never be a battle. There'll never be a fight that he won't be declared winner. God has declared that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, every tongue should confess and proclaim that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Stand to your feet and clap your hands to the glory of God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. All hail his glory, all hail his majesty. King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. All hail King Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb that was slain. Blessed be the Son of the living God. Blessed be the Lord of lords. John said, I saw the heavens open. I saw a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And on his name there was written a name, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, when we're assembled around that throne eternal, all the righteous people of God will sing the song. Thou art worthy, Lamb of God, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God. What a wonderful, wonderful Lord he is. I've got more to preach, but the Lord said it's time to pray. Come, Connor, quickly, quickly, quickly. Oh, would you just lift your hands one more time and praise him? The Lord is in the house. The Lord is in the house. Someone's burden is going to be lifted this morning. Someone's heart is going to be healed and mended today. Someone's spirit is going to be blessed today. Someone is going to get a touch from the Lord in this place. Max Licato, in his book Fearless, talks about his brother, whose name was Dee. And he said, while we were just in our mid-teens, we went to a merchant that sold liquor to teenagers and underage people and said, while it was just an intertwinement with me, it got a hold on my brother D, and it lasted for most of his life. He became an alcoholic, addicted to alcohol and to drugs. Lived so many years, but he said one January night, he said, my brother D found something inside him to pray a prayer and say to God, God, I'm tired of living like this. God, I'm tired of trouble in my home, trouble with my kids. I'm tired of wasting all of my money on booze and liquor, and I'm tired of all the horrible effects. And if you'll help me and save me. And that night, the grace of God touched D. And that night, he poured out all of his bottles. That night, he repaired his marriage. That night, he reached out to all of his kids and said, I'm sorry that I've failed you. I'm sorry that I've lived a life like I've lived. But he said, the God that my brother preaches about has touched me and changed me. Living that life like that, at 54 years old, he was a miserable physical wreck. One night, he felt chest pains. His wife, Donna, called the paramedics, they came and rushed to his side as rapidly as they could get there. They put him on the gurney, put him in the ambulance. He looked over at Donna and he said, "Don't worry, Donna, it'll be all right." But when Donna and the two boys got to the hospital, they were informed he didn't make it. Donna said, "Can we see him?" I said, "Yeah." Holding one another tightly and embraced, they walked through the door and walked over to find Dee's last message. His hands were laying on his thigh like that, and the two middle fingers were folded under like that, and his thumb extended. That's the sign language for "I love you." I love you. That's the symbol known all over the world. I love you. You see, no matter what's got a hold on you, God can break that by the grace of God. The grace of God that brings salvation. I feel like praying this morning, don't you? Would you join me in this altar this morning? All over this house, would you come, please? I've got a handkerchief over there somewhere on that stool, that table there. Would you bring it to me, please? Thank you, God. Brother and Sister Fincher's son, his name also is Jerry. It's just that napkin there, Brother Don. It's what Finchie brought for me to pray over. I feel God in this house. Do you feel God in this house? This air is just electrified, Demetrius, with the power of God. Oh, God's here this morning, Glenda. I haven't felt the Lord like this in a long time. The Bible said, pray one for another that you may be healed. I want someone near you. Just take their hand if you would. That's right. Just form a unified chain all across this place. Thank you, God. I believe that prayer changes things. Rachel, I believe that God's grace is sufficient for whatever you're going through, whatever your need is. God's grace is sufficient. If you need healing today, God's grace is the answer. If there's a relationship problem between you and someone, God's grace is sufficient. It may be a son or daughter, it may be a wife or a husband, but if you'll let God today, He'll heal that for you if you'll submit. The only reason that you would leave here without your need being met is that you refuse to submit. If you'll submit, I preached it to you so strong, if you'll submit, God can change the situation for you. I don't care how big it is, how impossible it seems, how broad or how deep, how far-fetched it is, the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. They said we were saved by the mighty hand of God. He brought us out of Egypt. Egypt represents sin. It represents bondage. It represents who we used to be. And the God, the mighty hand, it's what brought us up out of Egypt. Today, in your situation, it'll be God's mighty hand that does the work for you. The work for you. What it's saying, submit yourself under the hand of the one who saved you. Submit yourself. Live under the control of the one who saved you. The hand. And you know what that hand's connected to? Lexi, you know what it's connected to? It's connected to an outstretched arm. If I was going to try to reach to Joel out there, I'd have to stretch out my arm. Why? Because he's a ways away from me. And if I'm going to touch him, I've got to outstretch my arm. It has to do with presence. It has to do with God's reach. Do you know how far God's reach is when it comes to reaching someone with his presence? Though I make my bed in hell, I'll discover that he is there. Though I ascend up to the stars, he's got such a reach that he can get to where I am. Though I find myself in the desert place, the reach, the outstretched arm that that hand is attached to, that hand that he's going to use to deliver me, he's going to get to where I am, and he's going to supply the need for what I'm going through. Boy, isn't that powerful? Submit yourself under the hand that is attached to the outstretched arm. Wow. I feel like praying right now. I want you to stick those hands right up just like this, right up to God. There you go. Now I want you out of your own heart to pray a prayer. I don't want to pray for you. I want you to pray. Don't listen to me pray. I want you to pray. And I want you to pray loud. I want you to pray loud because bold. We got to be bold. I said the Bible said be bold. So pray out loud. Don't worry about who's going to hear you. It's just you talking to God right now. Just you and God. Just talk to God right now. Be bold, be bold, be bold, be bold, be bold. Come on. Heaven is listening. God is looking you right in the eye. God is hearing your prayer. God's listening. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you want him to do. Be specific. Say it to him. He loves you. He's listening. He's listening. You've got his attention. His ear is cupped to you right now. He's hearing what you say. Boldly tell him, God, I need you to do this for me. God, I need you to help me with this relationship. God, I need you to give me confidence, God. I need you, God, to help me in my marriage. God, I need you to solve this problem. Lord, I need you to help me. Please, God, I need you. I need you, God. I've got this need. I've got this need. I've got to have this met, God. Somehow, I'm going to submit to you, God, and say, your way. You have your way, God. You do it your way. Not mine, but your way, God. Not my will, not my plan, but your plan. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Oh, blessed God, I feel the power of the Lord in this place. Wow, what anointed prayers are being prayed all over this place. The Spirit is making intercession. The Spirit is making intercession. Thank you, God. I tell you what, while we've got this direct line to God, brother, it'd be a good time for you to get whatever you need that's been bothering you a long time. Because this is an unusual, unusual spirit of prayer in this place right now. The Bible said that from the hands of the apostles, there went out handkerchiefs and aprons that were placed upon the sick, and that when they were placed upon them, they were healed. You believe that's in the Bible? You believe God's changed his mind about that, that he doesn't do that anymore? I believe he still does. God, in Jesus' name. God, Jerry Fincher needs a touch of your spirit. God, Jerry Fincher needs a healing for his body. His mother has brought this handkerchief today for this man of God to pray over and to anoint with oil. Your word says that you use this tactic and this means to bring healing. This is a venue through which you work and you move and you act. God, I pray that upon the body of Jerry Lee Fincher, that when this handkerchief is placed upon his body, I pray, God, that a healing touch, a supernatural, powerful move of the Spirit of God would touch his body and heal him and deliver him. Your grace, your power is sufficient. And in Jesus' name, I ask and pray for his healing. And I expect it to be done in the name of Jesus. Belmont, turn around there and lay your hand on Fincy right there. God, right now I pray for her. This week she had an episode with her blood pressure. It dropped to 25 on the lower number. They don't understand why it happened. She could have left us, but thanks be to God, he still got a purpose for her. She thinks it's sometimes to bake bread, but I think God's got a bigger thing than that for her to do, don't you? Would you stretch your hand toward her right now? God, this little mother who has come down this aisle on a walker and said, I need God to touch my body. I need the Spirit of God to heal me, to work through me, to help me, to touch my body. God's got a purpose. God's got a will. And in Jesus' name, I want to serve him. In Jesus' name, I need a touch of healing for my body. God, stretch down that mighty hand and that outstretched arm and that healing virtue flow through that body in Jesus' powerful name. Thank you, God. Now, if you've got a need, just stretch your hand right up here toward me right now. You've got something you want God to do. You've got something you need God to do. Jesus said, if any two or three of you shall agree concerning anything, it shall be done. I'm going to pray a prayer of agreement with you this morning, and I want you to agree with me as I pray. God, in Jesus' name, I bring this congregation to you. Thank you that for 31 and more years, they have called me shepherd and pastor. I have been up the mountain many times to receive a word from God to bring back to them. Hundreds, yea, thousands of times. God, today in this pulpit, I've felt your anointing and I've felt your power. I need you, God, to touch my people. And once again, I'm standing between them and you. And I'm saying, Lord, please touch my people. God, heal their diseases. God, pardon their iniquities. God, touch their families. God, touch their jobs. God, touch their homes. God, touch their children. Touch their relationships. God, where Satan has come in to terrorize and to divide, God, in Jesus' name, turn that terror back on him. And in Jesus' name, put him to flight. And in Jesus' name, Lord, cause him to take his slimy hand off of that family. In Jesus' name, I right now resist every tactic and every device and every scheme of the adversary to hurt and steal and damage and murder. In Jesus' name, right now, deliverance and healing, I speak over my people. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for deliverance, and thank you for healing. Thank you for this altar service, God. I feel your power. I feel your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Now for about 30 seconds, could we hear the greatest praise that you can raise to the Lord in this place for all that he has done this morning? Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. From the mountains ranges to the ocean deep, let the praises of the Lord ring aloud. Let the heavens declare the glory of God. Let the inhabitants of the earth all with a mighty voice give praise and honor and glory unto the Lord God of all gods. We praise you, we glorify you, we lift you up, we magnify you, God. You're the greatest. You're an awesome God. And we thank you for meeting with us today. We praise you now, O Lord, in this sanctuary. Blessed be God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Turn to that person beside you and say, you be blessed in Jesus' name. You be blessed in Jesus' name. You be blessed in Jesus' name. Shake hands now and be friendly as the people of God and love one another. And say, it was good when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you.